And we were talking Mavs yesterday. In studio is the great Donovan, by the way.
Hello.
The great Donovan.
Woo!
Hi, great Donovan.
Hello, Dan. Justin.
Hello.
Justin. Whoa.
You okay?
Good?
No.
Right.
Justin hosts the Mavs postgame show, and Donnie loves the NBA.
I do. And I love this program.
And yesterday, Donovan was, like many P1s, apparently mad at his radio. But unlike many P1s, Donovan has the inside track and can text Blake when he's mad about something we say. So from what I don't have any idea what we're doing here.
I don't either.
I know is we were talking Mavs yesterday, and after the show, Blake came up to me in his little squirrely voice, and he said Donovan was texting me that he's whatever, something about what Justin said.
Oh boy.
I said, "Well, let's book the great Donovan. Let's have it out. Let's talk Mavs because we're trying to figure this team out here."
I know. And in the process of figuring this team out, no, you don't have to duck. Not right now, but I'm loading up the bullets. Watching game one, and I guess I'm a little frustrated with everyone involved in loving the Mavericks. And then when I hear a basketball mind who I love listening to Justin talk basketball, all of his opinions about the Mavericks, they're all great. But he almost fell into the I don't know what I want to call it, about everyone really freaking the blank out about two basketball games. And I just don't need that from my Justin. I need my Justin to realize that when you wipe the slate clean like they did as far as the regime and the front office and all that, and we're trying to figure some things out, it's all new, that two games into an 82-game season, we're not going to have everything figured out at all or even close. And that it's a work in progress.
Oh, thank you.
See? Huh? It's a work in progress to try to get this thing going. You don't need to panic. Everyone else who's not hosting a postgame show, okay, that's what they do. You have to realize that, all right, it doesn't matter who they start. It's about who finishes and closes these games. And when they figure everything out as far as the rotation goes, that this team with Luka will figure everything out to be okay and work everything out they need to.
Okay, so I guess I'll start with, I must not have been making my message clear yesterday, because I have talked Mavericks now three times since their game against Toronto, in the post game, Sunday morning, and then yesterday with Dan. And I thought at least the first two times I was squarely in the camp, I can't believe people were freaking out after game one.
Okay. I did not hear that. It sounded like you were freaking out yesterday.
No, I guess I was more just saying I don't like Dwight Powell in the starting lineup. But as the biggest kid detractor when they hired him, even I was saying, we're not going to be able to determine if he sucks or not after two games. It's going to take a year, 2 years before we can realize that. Let's just find out. I guess I was more like just not happy that we're starting Dwight Powell. I also, you know, said in the post game, but I didn't say it yesterday, I do care more about the last 5 minutes than the first 5 minutes of who's on the floor. I think that's way more indicative of who your team trusts. And in the
unless
Toronto
you're down
game,
by 30,
yeah, that's
true.
But
in Atlanta,
if it's a close game, you know, the Mavericks had Kleba out there,
sure,
because that's who they trust more than Dwight Powell. So I think they're going to keep trying to make Dwight Powell work. But obviously, the better lineup right now either has Kleba or Bullock, but I am not freaking out in any stretch of the imagination.
Okay.
I don't think that we should panic. Like I said, if they're gonna suck under Jason Kidd, we're not gonna know that in the first week. They do need that time to learn their system. I mean, that's what I was saying about Porzingis and Powell. I do think that even if they are trying to play together, they're still also learning a new system too. So it's a lot of things that they're trying to figure out at once.
A 50-win season is a really successful season. That means that team's going to lose 32 times throughout the year. So it's plenty of time to freak out.
Yeah.
And plenty of time to question what's going on. But as far as, if you feel that Powell shouldn't be in the starting lineup, I would think that they've run through every equation they possibly can trying to figure this thing out. And after 10 games, if they think, boy, you know what? This is just not working out. It's not like we thought it was going to be. Then Powell's going to have his ass on the bench. And then they're going to run out another starting lineup to try to get this thing going. Just the level of panic that I've seen in these first two games has been some of the most ridiculous things I've heard from even the staunchest of Mavs fans. It doesn't make any sense. Like, okay, Atlanta's a really good team. And after halftime in the third quarter, you got drilled. And it was no contest. That's going to happen at least 6-7 more times in this basketball season, where they're going to go out, their shots aren't falling, and they're going to get the hell beat out of them. But that happens to every single basketball team that's in the NBA right now.
And I think a lot of it is people that were against the kid hiring just confirming their opinion already, and they wanted it to fail because they thought it was going to fail, and now because they haven't beat their first two opponents by 50 each, they're like, oh, well, then they don't know what they're doing.
And their angst towards KP.
Yeah.
That KP is, oh, he's not it. They weren't in that game against Toronto without KP in the first half.
No.
They would have got blown out.
Right.
And then all of a sudden it was Luka and Dwight Powell in the third quarter that kind of got their pick and roll action going. And then they opened the game up against Toronto. Oh, but Toronto sucks. So you can't even judge what they did against Toronto because that's a bad team. It's just, I don't know. It's like people just refusing to be happy because it feels like everyone else was kind of happy about what was going on in the offseason. Like, it felt like this franchise needed what happened, and it just happened in such a Dallas kind of screwed up way that you're waiting again. It's Cowboy syndrome.
Yeah.
We're waiting for the rug to be pulled out from underneath us. And it's game two!
Yeah, I'll never understand the people that try to discredit wins against bad teams, because if you lost to that team, you would 100% be throwing it in their face.
They may protest outside of the AAC
but
if they would have lost game two against Toronto.
You always say that the good teams, you know, they get home court in the postseason because they didn't trip up against the bad teams on their schedule. I mean, that cost the Mavericks getting a higher seed last year, losing to Houston and losing to Charlotte and losing to Sacramento. So let's not be upset that they beat the teams they're supposed to beat. Toronto is a bad team. But in the second half, they had their way with them.
I think a lot of the panic seemed to be that last year they were a great offense. And then why would you come in and change that? We were sold the kid is changing the culture, so the feel, the vibe. And he's knows a thing or two about defense. And that's what was sold. And then game one, you just saw the spacing problems were pretty glaring. The Powell, it seemed to be Powell on the floor with KP, just wasn't working at all. And that was kind of his main change that he made. Also, with the council that he called, the players' council, that he will confer with to see who they want to start. And then, you know, I was just thinking, what happens when things go south? And you have to act like a parent towards one of, or a coach towards one of the players on the council. You know, how much power? It's one thing when you give LeBron a lot of power, who's been in the league for 15 years and has seen everything, like Frank Vogel apparently did. And kids sat back and watched how Frank Vogel handled LeBron. Well, that doesn't just then translate to Luka or KP. They're much younger, and they have no skins on the wall yet. So I'm not really – I think I'm into kid wanting to get input and be a different guy than Carlisle, but just not sure – just not sure it should be this much so early that you guys are making this big decision.
And I would think if they are 5-5 out of 10 games – you can sit the council down and say, all right, you said you wanted Powell in the starting lineup and it's not working. Let's see if we can go a different route. I don't think they'll go, no, well, you asked us and we're going to put it in there, so just keep going. I think even the players will understand that, all right, if this is not working, let's try this out and then let's do this or have this lineup. And we're just trying to figure out things with Bullock and Brown. Like, they're 3-and-D players, and I know Brown hasn't made a shot yet. So they're trying to figure themselves out also. It's such a long process that we want immediate results right now. And after, and if it's so bad, you're 1-1 after two of the most terrible games you've ever seen, then you should be okay, right? We're good. And I don't even like the gimme against Houston tonight. Oh, they should just go out and beat them. Yeah, it's a home game, and it's a team that you're better than. But it's the NBA, and all this is new.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everyone just needs to just chill and let it play itself out. This is going to be a good team because you have Luka. No
yeah,
question.
That's why, because I was against the kid hiring too. And I still say they'll be better than they were last year.
Right.
I don't think it was a good hire. I don't think he deserved to be hired.
And you still don't think it's a good
no.
hire?
No. And what I'm really shocked about is that Mark Cuban, who has presented this opportunity very rarely, he's had the same coach for 10 years, and the kind of guy he is, he seems very, he's big on research. You know, he's big on doing things differently. And he seemed to go with the good old boys route. A guy he knows, a guy he has good feelings about that played here, and Dirk said he likes him, so he hires him. Instead of, okay, now I have a head coach opening. How about we scour the world? Scour the country, whatever country.
Yeah.
I want analytics. I want every stone unturned. Who would be the best head coach moving forward? And it seemed like he was blindsided by the Carlisle resignation, and then he hired Kidd within days. And so I don't know, was it part of the Nico thing? Like, I can't get Nico. Nico said he would only be the GM if he got Kidd.
I think that has something to do with it.
And he really wanted Nico for a long time. That could be it.
I wonder if it was the other way around.
But
I don't know. Like, he really wanted Kidd, and Kidd said, hey, I want Nico as the GM. Like, I have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, Kidd flamed out spectacularly in two other places as a head coach. And his domestic violence history just didn't make it a really good look for this particular franchise to hire him. So I still don't think it was a good hire.
But
I still think there's somebody else out there that could be a better hire, and Cuban didn't even look into it. That's what surprised me about
Cuban. I can see that, but being on the bench for a championship-winning team with the Lakers, and as we all expect Luka to grow as a player and get better than he was the year before, I think him knowing and being with J. Kidd all that time and winning a championship as a player and then seeing him on the bench as a championship coach, as an assistant coach, you would take some of that to bring to this team. And the fact that he knows him probably elevated him in his eyes to say, okay, you know what? You can bring someone else in that's won a championship, but he's familiar with me and this organization. And you know what? It's about him probably being comfortable. And we all know who the GM and the real leader of this whole thing
right,
is.
It's Cuban.
And it's him. So he wanted to be comfortable. He was comfortable with Donnie and comfortable with Rick because they've been together so long. And now he's comfortable with the guy that he knows.
It was still crazy to me, though, that it didn't seem like, and then, you know, maybe behind closed doors, we just don't know, that they didn't give Jamal Mosley more of consideration than they did. The fact that he obviously had a good relationship with Luka. Luka was pretty outspoken, that he liked Jamal Mosley. He's been on the team. Now, if they want to just sever any ties or any worries that you have with Carlisle, then I guess that's it, but I don't think that Carlisle and Mosley loved each other based on the reports we got when that ended.
And then he threw him
Carlisle
under the bus.
Throwing him under the
yeah,
bus.
Yeah, he talked about Jason Kidd being the right guy for the job when he's on his way out the door. That
right.
was really weird. Like, this whole thing has just been really weird. So I guess that's how people are reacting to it, because the whole situation was a mess to begin with.
All right, we got to go. Apparently.
I'm still mad at Justin. I'm kidding.
I'm sorry, just text Blake.
Okay, I will.
Just text Blake.
I'm texting Saroy. I want to go on the invasion, though.
Bring it. Bring your buns.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.